on the Bible description of the end days, end times, and with all that's going on in the world, I'm not going to be preaching what I was preaching per se, but knowing what the Bible has to say about the last days is one thing. But preparing, knowing it to the point that it gets past our head and into our heart is a whole other thing, because if we know it and we believe it, then it will make us prepare for it. Rather than thinking of it being somewhere way off out in the distance. And we need to know the Bible description of the last days so that we can see the signs and know what's coming. But we need to do more than know about it. We need to prepare for it. And so I was going to read one verse and just use that as a launching point, but just sitting in my pew down there as she was singing, Matthew chapter 24 is one of the most controversial chapters in the Word of God. It's taken out of context so much of the time, and we're going to do our best to not do that. And God is spoken very clearly, very plainly, and you'll recognize many of these verses. They'll jump off the page, and you will know them. But it's very important that we keep the Word of God in context and know who God's speaking to. All of the Word of God is not written to you. It's written for you, but it's not written directly to you. Some of it's written to the Jew. Some of it's written to the church. And just to prove that point, God wrote and inspired men to write the law. The law was of God. But ain't you glad that ain't to you? Praise the Lord, it ain't the law. Amen. The law was a schoolmaster. It was for us, but it's not to us. And the same, it's not just in the Old Testament that's true. The New Testament, the epistles are to the churches. That's to us. When you get to the book of Acts and on up through those Pauline epistles, they are absolutely to us. But all of the Word, the Bible says all Scripture is profitable for doctrine. And so let's look at Matthew chapter number 24, and I know our time's limited, but I do want to read a good bit tonight, and if all we do is read, we'll be okay. But let's begin in verse number 1. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 1. The Bible says, Here we go. The Bible says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And boy, that grabbed their attention. They could not believe what he had just spoken. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear," listen, here's some verses just going to pop right out, and you're going to know them probably verbatim. "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. What about that? Have you, like, can I ask you this? Have you ever in your lifetime, I mean, I know in a, just in a, looking through the prism and the keyhole of America and American history, and some of you lived through some of this, but we have fought world wars. I mean, World War I and World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam, and the Iraq War, and the War on Terror, and just there's been a lot of war. A lot of war. But have you ever, not in my lifetime, have you ever heard of more war and rumors of war at one time than the world is going through and experiencing right now? Not in my lifetime. It's everywhere. It's like the whole world is erupting and exploding, nation against nation. And I don't know if you've picked up the tone when all this stuff happened in Israel on October the 7th. Everybody was standing for Israel, and everybody was siding with Israel, and even the liberals, and even Muslims, and people who normally cuss Israel were saying Israel was done wrong, and it was an atrocity, and it was barbaric what happened to Israel. But we're just weeks removed from that massacre and that terrible, terrible day. And already the tide has shifted and turned, and the world is turning on Israel at breakneck speed. Exactly what God said would happen. And it's happening. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. But listen to the next phrase. We're hearing about all that, but God, we can't lose this middle part of this verse. Jesus said, "See that ye be not troubled." When we hear and see of these wars and rumors of wars, "See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass." It's got to happen. It's going to happen. It is happening. But Jesus said, "But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. And these are the beginning of sorrows. And then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Did you hear that? "Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations." Who is he talking to? He ain't talking to the church. He's talking to the Jew. Exactly what I just got done talking about the world and nations and everybody. "Ye shall be hated of all nations. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many." And listen to this verse. "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." How many be honest this evening and say, the church as a whole has waxed cold? People who used to stand firm and be hot for God and has cooled down and become, to use a Bible word, lukewarm. That Laodicean age, that Laodicean church, that cooling down period, we have lived to see it. "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Now see, that's one of them verses right there that, taken out of context, and it has been by many. "He that endures to the end shall be saved." A lot of denominations a lot of the Pentecostals and those of that vein, and even some Baptists, Free Will Baptists, that don't believe in eternal security, don't believe that once saved, always saved, believes that you can get saved and lose it. And they take verses like that out of context. They take verses like that where it says, them that will endure to the end, they'll be saved. That has nothing to do with the child of God. That has nothing to do with a born-again believer. That is speaking to those who endure through the tribulation, to that Jew, and to those who endure through the tribulation and don't take the mark of the beast. That's who that's speaking to. You can't just pluck a verse out of the scripture and use that and base your doctrine off of. Scripture has to be compared with scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept, and it has to be all fit together. It can't just pull it out and, no, that's where you get into a ditch. And when you got one scripture that's contrary to 15 other scriptures, then either you're reading it wrong or either it's out of context and you need to do more study to find out why is it that way. Because I promise you this, God don't make mistakes and God don't contradict himself. There's no contradiction in the Word of God. If you find something that seems contradictory, it ain't with God or his Word. It's with you and your mind. Amen. It's or with me and my mind. And so that's been one verse that's just been caused all kind of confusion. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Did you hear that verse? Don't skim over that verse. That's big. Because do you realize up until about 15 years ago, that was an impossibility? Do you realize that our grandparents never dreamed and couldn't imagine how the gospel would be preached all over the world to every creature and every nation and all four corners of the earth? How could that possibly be? I mean, it would take forever to get enough missionaries to get to every continent, to every country, to every jungle, to every tribe. But now, the gospel can be preached with that device in your hand and it can reach the world. Yeah. The world. Amen. And God said, the end won't come until this gospel is preached to the world. And now it can be done in a day. Right. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. What a powerful word from God. God said there's never been a day like it's coming, and there never will be. Can you imagine something so devastating and so, I mean, when the judgment of God is poured out on this world without grace? I mean, imagine the flood, when the flood covered the whole world and killed every living creature and every living soul save eight. And that don't compare to what God said's coming. He said, ain't never been a day like it's coming, nor ever shall be hereafter. Verse 22, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. See, Jesus has been doing all this talking, hinging off of the question the disciples asked, when will the end come? How will we know? And he goes into all that we just read, and now he begins telling this parable, answering their question. When putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. You say, you make too big a deal about that Bible. Listen to me. I can get along with a lot of people, and I can bite my tongue and sit with a crowd that I care nothing about sitting with. I had a Lutheran call me the other day. Said we help. I don't even know how he got my name or number, but he said, "Hey, I'm Dr. So and So, pastor of this big Lutheran church, and we do these outreaches, and we've heard your name on the streets that you're a pastor down at Morningstar, and you help these people and." They hear your testimony, and we want you to come up here and just sit in one of our prayer breakfasts and this and that and the other. That's all great and fine, but I don't care nothing about going and sitting with a bunch of Lutherans. Now, if he had said, come preach for us to a bunch of lost people, I'd have been glad to do that, but just come sit and pray with some Lutherans, I'll pass. I can go hunting. I can find something better to do than that. I'm saying I can bite my tongue, and I can get along with people that I disagree with, even over some doctrinal things. But let me tell you one thing that a long time ago I stood my ground on, and I lost friends. I even had to stand against my pastor. I left my church. I left a lot of people that I loved, and I drew a line in the sand, and I've lost good preacher friends, and I've lost friendships and respect for what I thought to be great men of God over this issue, and it's the issue of the Word of God. If this book ain't perfect, then how do we know that any of it's right? If we don't have a Bible that's pure and perfect, then I'm ready to cash in and give up on it all. And I've staked my eternity that this book is right and real and genuine and pure and perfect.
Amen.
And yes, I'm talking about this King James Bible.
Amen.
And God said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away.
Amen.
When this world's on fire, God's word will stand. Amen. But of the day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Hear me. I know this is the Wednesday night crowd. I know this is the cream of the crop, and I'm preaching to the choir, but please hear me. Just like Noah preached for 120 years and people got bored and sick and tired of hearing him preach righteousness and seeing Noah get up and thunder every day and preach that judgment's coming and preach that God's gonna send judgment and God's gonna wipe this world out, and they laughed and mocked at him, and they knew not what was coming, and it came. And listen, when they got on the ark, when Noah and his family and his boys and their wives, when they got on the ark, and the Bible said that God shut the door, and then the storm clouds came, and the rain began to fall, and the earth opened up, and gushing water came, and it flooded. And that same thing's going to happen, but it's not going to be with water, but it's going to be with the unadulterated fury of God Almighty on this world. And they're going to have no idea until it's too late. And boy, that ought to behoove every one of us that know to get ready and to try to win any and everybody that we can. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Can you imagine working with people? It said one will be at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. People you work with, Jeff, people you teach at school, when the Lord comes, you leaving. And they're going to look around and say, I wonder where Mr. Gibson's at. And you gone. And there's going to be several young people, multitudes of them, left. And where you work, and it could be a family gathering, or it could be at the schoolhouse, and there's going to be half the people taken out of here and gone in the rapture, and God's going to take half, and the rest will be, I mean, people we love, people that we've spent our lives with. Jimmy, Brother Jimmy, you've asked prayer, and we mentioned tonight friends of yours that you work with for years and care about and pray for, and they're going to be left. And you'll be gone. If that don't burden us, and we say we love, we say that them's our best friends, I'd die for them. I'd fight for them. That's hogwash. If you won't love somebody enough to tell them about Jesus and try your best to get them in the house of God to hear preaching, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If we won't at least try, I mean, listen, then don't talk to me, and I ought not talk to you about how much we love somebody and how close we are and how good of friends we are, people. If we won't tell them about Jesus, we can talk to them about anything in the world except for that, knowing they're going to be left behind. It ought to bother us. Where's the tears gone? People used to come to altars and weep puddles of tears over lost loved ones. I mean, we got children and we got family and brothers and sisters that the Lord comes. What I'm preaching, this ain't a fairy tale. This ain't a fiction book. This will happen, and people we love and know will be left.
That's right.
It ought to bother us. Lord, help us. Lord, help me. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of the servants shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's Matthew chapter number 24. And the text verse I was going to read, and I'll do it in 5 or 10 minutes, is verse number 44. Therefore, be ye also ready. Therefore, because of what's been said, Jesus said, because of all I just laid out, be ye also ready. And such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. I titled this message, Get Right for the Flight. Don't you want to meet him right? Don't you want to be ready when he comes? Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. I ain't got time to go through all of this, so I'm just going to skip down and just give you the highlights. But his coming is going to be sudden. Over and over and over, the Bible hints and mentions how he will come as a thief in the night, how he will come suddenly, how he will come quickly. 3 times in the last book of your Bible, he said, I come quickly. He's coming suddenly. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and 52 speaks of his sudden return. The rapture will take place in the twinkling of an eye. Do you know how fast that is? A blink of an eye has been timed at 1/50th of a second. That's a blink. A twinkle is much faster than a blink. And a blink is 1/50th of a second. That's pretty sudden. No time to prepare when he's coming. The only time to get ready is now, before he comes. And so the truth is, either you will be ready or you won't. Because you won't have time to get ready. The Bible is clear in its teaching that we not count on there being another day or another time to get ready. Listen to what Proverbs 21:7 says. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I was talking about praying for Brian's daddy. We took him to the hospital to a doctor visit just to have him checked for them to look at something. And we'd done that, and then we took him to another visit to see the cancer doctor. And that doctor said, Mr. Rochester, you've lost so much weight, and you're so weak. We need to get you in the hospital like today, just to get a feeding tube in you and start. I mean, he went in there talking and walking, and now he's on life support just days later. Had no idea. It was just, I'm saying, you don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what's going on. I had no idea. I was going in last week just to have my throat checked. Had no idea they was going to tell me that I was going to be wearing a heart monitor this coming week. Listen, I'm 46 years old. I'm young. I should be in my prime. You don't know. And you don't have time to prepare when it's too late. And that's why we better live prepared. We better plan to prepare and get started preparing, because you don't know what tomorrow holds. Second Corinthians 6:2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in a day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We believe that, don't we? You can't get saved tomorrow. You ain't going to get saved yesterday. The only time, that's why the Bible says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. We believe that about salvation, then why under heaven don't we believe that about preparation for the coming of the Lord, about being ready, being right for this flight that we're going to take? There will be no announcements made, no advertisements posted. The Lord will come for his church in a split second of time. In the computer world, there's a division of time called a nanosecond. And that's a span of time equivalent to 1/1,000,000th of a second. If mankind and his technology can achieve that kind of small increment of a number, don't you think the Lord in his infinite power, I'm saying, prepare now. Amen. Get ready now. You say, but preacher, I'm saved. Praise the Lord. Then glory, hallelujah. Then you ready. Then your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you're not going to hell, so you ready for eternity. But I'm talking about being ready to meet the Lord. Let me remind us all. Beginning with me, oh Lord, Paul said, I tremble at his presence. Paul said that. I mean, the man who bore the marks in his body, the man who was whipped and beaten and starved and shipwrecked and put in shackles and finally martyred. And Paul said, I tremble at his presence. Because he's the one who said, I hadn't apprehended, I hadn't achieved, I hadn't graduated, I still fail in the things that I would, I find myself not doing the things I would not. I'm saying to us all, we need to get serious about this thing of being a Christian. Amen. And I'm preaching to me more than I am you. Lord, help us all get serious about being a Christian, because we are running out of time. I saw this and wrote it down. I thought it was worth repeating. The only time that you have is right now. The only time you're guaranteed is right now. Yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. And today's the only spendable cash you have. The coming of the Lord will be sudden. It'll be solemn. Solemn because those who do not know the Lord will be left. Luke 17, I'm going to close. Luke 17, 34. I tell you, in the night that there shall be two men in one bed, the one shall be taken and the other shall be left. The women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. I talk about working with people and how tragic. I'm talking about a solemn time. I talk about working with people, friends of yours, and one be taken, or you be taken and them left. But think about what the Bible just said. Two in the bed. That person you love the most. That spouse, that wife, that husband that you sleep with every night of your life. Left. Left behind. Oh God, help us. You say, but I know my wife's saved. Well, praise the Lord. That ought to give you extra time to pray for those who's struggling that has a lost wife or a lost husband. Imagine if that was you. Imagine if you was living a Christian life the best you could, knowing you had a drunkard for a husband. We got ladies in our church, and I ain't going to call names. I wouldn't dare embarrass nobody, but we got ladies in our church that I pray for and I'm burdened over, and they doing everything in their power to live the Christian life, and they are struggling trying to raise kids and grandkids and got a lost husband, health bad, almost staring death in the face, knowing he's lost. Do you know the weight of that? Boy, that ought to make us thank God for a saved wife. And that ought to burden us to take some time to pray for those who have to go through that deep, lonely, dark valley. You talking about a burden? Don't the Bible say that we ought to bear one another's burdens? Well, I can't think of a greater burden and a greater area and opportunity for us to pray for somebody and try to lift that heavy load. Amen. My time's up. Let's stand. Father in Jesus.